Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We are continuing our series on Anchored, looking at Ephesians. We're in Ephesians 5 this week, and I'm joined by two special guests and friends. First, we're joined by lead pastor Jose Abaroa.
Morning,
Jose,
Taylor.
Welcome back. And we're joined by one of the newest members of our staff team, and she's on our admin team, Annie Ward. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Always a treat to have you. This past Sunday was a special Sunday.
Special Sunday.
I know I say that about a lot of Sundays, but this one in particular...
This one was special.
Yes, we had the Eubanks in town. It is always fun to have them, and this week did not disappoint. Jose, you kind of gave almost like a little mini Conversations podcast on Sunday, getting a chance to kind of ask them some questions, but I'm excited to kind of unpack some of the themes and even ask y'all some of the questions that, Jose, you asked Dave and Karen. But first, we'd love to hear your thoughts, Jose, on just how the Sunday went, even how it tied in with this series Anchored that we're in.
Yeah, that's what's so awesome, and God is so good in that way. We were looking at the verses that were coming up, and it just so happened that it landed on some verses that are so applicable to the way that the Eubank family lives their life. They live wisely. They make the best use of time. Hard to compete with them in how they spend their time going wherever the Lord leads them, to the front lines, providing aid to the hurting on all sides. I mean, they are some of the most grace-filled, powerful families, ministries that I know of in the world. That's not, I don't just say that because we know them. I think it's really true. So the fact that we got to share with them a Sunday was really special. And then when I called Dave and I said, hey, Dave, we're looking through these verses. What do you think about doing this? I don't have the email pulled up, but he said something like, wow, those are great verses. Let's do it. You know, so he was all in from the get-go. So I knew it was going to be fun. And then some of the stories that he shared, my goodness, I mean, left me speechless. Three gatherings were all different. So he shared different stories in all three gatherings. We just posted the 10 o'clock and they were filled with incredible examples on how to live out these verses.
And you've known the Eubanks as well just through the last few years. I think about, I've probably first heard about them just through Crosstalk a while ago, but would love to hear your thoughts on the Eubanks story, and then we'll jump into some of the things they shared.
I think as long as I've been able to interact with the Eubanks, their parenting has always been the big takeaway. Anytime I've either heard them talk or talked with them. And for me, the highlight for sure was their daughter singing the song at the end of the service. I was in the back. I was actually trying to hunt down a mint, and I ended up standing in the back of the service.
Did you find a mint?
I did not find a mint.
Oh man, we gotta fix that.
So yeah, I was gonna be praying with people, and you know, if you're gonna be praying with people, you want to be ready with mint or gum, and I was unprepared. But it got me to the back of the church in the back corner while she was playing her song, and it was, for lack of a better word, I could just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit while she was playing, and like something being awoken, just because of the context and the stories that they shared gave so much context to that song. And it was powerful. It was powerful.
I love that no matter the context, I think one of the things Karen shared at the end of the gathering was just how our front lines may look different, obviously, compared to some of the things that they're facing for many of us that are listening, and yet these truths still apply. That's same right. God, same word, and being able to unpack that. We're looking in Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 20. Jose, you kind of summed up this passage with three kind of attributes here of walking carefully and wisely, understand the will of the Lord, and be filled with the Spirit. And so we can just hit one of these one by one here. This first part here about walk carefully and wisely, even just based on verse 15, which says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And I love the question you asked Dave, which is, okay, how do you hear from God? How do you know where to go? And I think even though, again, our front lines look very different, but how do y'all hear from God? How do we walk wisely? How have you grown in that over time?
Yeah, growing up, I used to think that there was a very clear right and wrong. And so to follow God, to please God, you had to choose good. And you grow up and you think, you know, I realize two things. One, God isn't testing me. God wants to bless me with his presence, and he wants to bless me with the gift of his son as a sacrifice to atone and pay for my sins so that then I could become more like him. So it was more about relationship than behavior. The second thing that I realized was wisdom. Mm. Wisdom is different than just right or wrong. There could be multiple good answers. For example, where do you go? Where are you going to go to college? What are you going to do when you grow up? Who are you going to marry? What are you going to eat for breakfast? All of those have multiple, you know, if you choose the wrong thing, it's not necessarily categorized as sin, but there's actually a verse that says that anything we do outside of our faith, so anything that we don't do in faith is qualified as a sin, meaning that we should look to God for wisdom when we make decisions. So we should live wisely. And in this verse, what it says, be careful. So for me, big thing that I need to do, I just made it really intense, is go back to that first point and just relax and enjoy fellowship with Jesus and remember who I am in him, that he's not testing me, that he's actually wanting to bless me. And then wisdom looks different. I love Dave's emphasis on prayer, going to God. He prays all the time. You're on the phone with him, he's praying with you. If you're talking about somebody, he goes, hey, one second, let's just pray. He puts his hands up. He says a short prayer. And so it's a constant conversation for him. He truly prays without ceasing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that I learned from him, to just be in constant communication with the Lord. Because as James says, as Solomon is an example, when we ask for wisdom, God loves to give it to us.
That's really good. It also makes me think too that it's God's wisdom, because versus like the world's wisdom, you know, there's so many things that I think God leads us to do. He asks us to do. And from someone who is maybe not in relationship with Jesus, it's going to seem foolish, you know? Yeah. And someone watching the Eubanks family in particular would be like, you do what? You've done what? And, but yet it's just so obvious how much God has been a part of all of the decisions that they've made. So I know for me too, it's getting really quiet. It helps me, you know, hear what the Lord says. It helps me to stop. It helps me to speak to someone who's trusted, you know? And I love that too, that illustration of just like stop and pray, just stop and pray. That's really good.
Yeah. I love one of the things that Dave shared about just even understanding our motives, trying to identify the mm-hmm. motives behind our decisions, because so quickly I feel like we've got a lot of voices trying to speak into a decision we're making. So it's not just, okay, God, oftentimes it's not just, okay, God, what do you have? But we also start to listen to, okay, what does my flesh want? What does the world want? What expectations does the world have on me or others? And so I love how Dave just kind of called out a few common ones about comfort and pride and fear, and just asking himself, and then he and Karen modeling that together about, okay, is this our flesh? Is this of God? And be able to pray through that. Love to hear y'all's thoughts on just practically how we'd live that out.
Yeah, those three are huge. Comfort, fear, and pride, right? Am I doing this out of comfort to be more comfortable? Not biblical comfort by the Lord, but am I looking for the world's comfort? And the second, am I doing this because of my ego? Because it's going to, in his words, make me look cool, which he does a lot of things that look cool. So I loved that he said that. And then the third is, am I scared? Is that what's keeping me from actually doing it? Or am I coping? It's another word that I would put there. Because I'm afraid, then I'm choosing, again, comfort and coping and not following the Lord. All three of those are things that this world offers us. And to your point, Annie, God's calling us to live wisely. Mm-hmm. And it may look foolish to the world, but I love how he labeled those. They also put on a clinic on how to do that in your marriage. I think he said altar. You know, put these feelings. He said it at the 10 o'clock. You're looking at me with big eyes, Annie.
Yeah.
You were at the 11:30.
I was at 11:30.
Yeah, but it's online. And he talks about putting these feelings on the altar. And we did a parenthood class right afterwards where Sean said the same thing. Wow. From a psychologist perspective. Give space to your feelings, name your feelings, and then ask God, what do I need to do with those feelings? So that's exactly what Dave was talking about. Pay attention to what's happening inside of you. Put them on the altar, meaning sacrifice them before the Lord, and then allow him to inform you on what to do next.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. Yeah, that's really powerful. And also just, it teaches us self-awareness, you know, and emotional maturity. I can't imagine growing in spiritual maturity and not also growing in that emotional maturity too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Something they spoke to, but would love to hear y'all's thoughts on this too, is, you know, you hear someone like this on stage, you're like, well, that's just, you know, either sometimes you think, oh, that's just a pastor talking, so they're like a professional Christian. But in this case, it's hard to listen to them and not go, okay, they are just very unique.
On another level.
Yeah. And then that has nothing to do with me, or that, you know, like I'm not even going to try. But what encouragement would you have for someone listening that maybe so overwhelmed, they're like, they are so amazing and they're just kind of the professionals and I'm the amateur here. And how am I supposed to discern my motives? How am I supposed to discern God's will? Because I'm not the Eubanks.
Yeah, I actually love that you brought that up. Here's what I would say, and here's what I learned, something God taught me leaving. It's the same faith. It's the same principles. And so the fact that those principles apply to Dave and Karen and their kids and the front lines when there are literally planes that are dropping down to bomb them while there are bullets flying over their heads, the same principles apply to us in America, in Texas, in this community as we live our lives. They did not sit there and you know, claim superiority because of what they did. Quite the contrary. They came with a posture of gratitude and true enjoyment of fellowship here with our church. That's the power of the gospel. Unifies people that, you know, do different things, and he gives us his truth. God gives us his truth to live out. And again, these verses are huge. Are we being filled with the things of the world is what these next verses talk about. You know, he speaks to wine. Wine is a depressant, right? And a lot of times we go to alcohol to suppress how we're really feeling. So that's the opposite of what we're talking about. No. Don't use a substance to numb your mind and your heart. Allow yourself to feel those things. Give it to God and instead be filled with his Holy Spirit. That's what they do.
A question that I've been asking you, Jose, and then whoever's on the podcast throughout this series has been kind of trying to get in the mind of Paul as the author of, you know, you could take verses 18 through 20, what you just talked about, Jose, being filled with the Spirit. That's its own message, its own theme you could really unpack. But then we're in this context here about living wisely, following God's will. So I'd love to just kind of see how y'all would tie those together. How do you think Paul kind of wove those and why that's so important?
Yeah, well, he's actually preparing us for the next section, which is how we handle relationships. And so before we handle relationships, let's handle our own lives. Let's be personally responsible for our actions and how we're living. So I love that. And I think in this case, he's speaking to the Ephesians, again, a people that lived thousands of years ago in a very different culture, and yet dealing with the same stuff that we deal with. And so the connection here is, are we living wisely according to God's wisdom, or are we living foolishly according to the world? And I'm just picking on this because we didn't talk much, and alcohol is a big, big topic, period. But alcohol has been around for thousands and thousands of years. It's actually been around in worship as well. So in Ephesus, I think it's the icon Dionysus, I don't know if I'm getting that right, but alcohol was a big part of that. So they would get drunk to worship this god. And what he's saying is, you don't need any substance to worship the Lord. You can actually be filled with his Spirit to not only worship him when we come together, but to be a living sacrifice as you live out wise life. And again, zooming in, what we saw on Sunday, what happens when a family is filled with the Holy Spirit of God? They understand what God's will is. They live wisely, and look at the impact that they're making. We can make that impact here as well.
That's really good. I feel like I have to take like 14 steps back whenever I think about all of that. And also just inside the context of the Eubanks family, one of the things that I think that they said on stage, or, you know, every service was different. But I remember him saying something that prompted me to think about something that my husband Josh and I have been saying recently. I've heard it before, but it's really important in the season that me and my husband are in right now. And that is, do what's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think in all of this context, you know, if we're doing what's in front of us and we're stepping away from that numbing that you're talking about, that's how I've felt in the past. You know, I myself have even, you know, numbed with X, Y, and Z, whatever it might be, to cope with whatever I'm working through. And but whenever you can set those things aside and then just do what's right in front of you, the rest of it fades away, you know, and you don't get distracted or, yeah.
Okay, I have a question for you, Annie, because you're a singer, you've sang for a long time, and you have a beautiful voice.
Well, thank you.
And do you find yourself being filled with the Spirit when you sing? Do you find during difficult times, when you sing, something change?
Yes. Yes. I mean, like, that's a great way to phrase it. It's, I think that anyone, whenever they step into a gifting that makes them come alive, I think that's just what happens. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's a gifting that makes me feel, that makes me come alive. And so, in anyone's context of how they serve or how they connect with God, I'm sure that's exactly how they feel too. And, yeah, it just sheds things that need to be shed. It reveals things that needs to be revealed. I can't tell you how many times, even on stage, you know, I'm not even really thinking about it. And all of a sudden the Spirit reveals something to me and I'm just like crying on stage, you know, if you watch closely.
Tears are coming down. I love that because it's not something that we would think goes hand in hand, you know, be filled with the Spirit, sing. Mm. But that's exactly what Paul instructs. That's the application here is to sing. Sing from our hearts, sing to one another. And then the third is, I think, one that makes sense for a lot of us is gratitude. These aren't end all be all. There's, you know, you don't sing to then be filled with the Spirit. It's something that reminds us that we are filled with the Spirit. So don't be filled with the things that this world has to offer. Be filled with the Spirit. And the activity that should follow is one of singing, which we here's what's interesting. I thought about this. When we go to concerts in the world, we do two things. Just stereotype, okay? You go to, let's just talk about a country concert. Two things. There's drinking and there's hand raising. Isn't that interesting? That in concerts, there's alcohol and then there's hand raising. I mean that because that ties into this passage where we can actually have that same euphoria mm-hmm. without the drinking mm-hmm. whenever you sing to the Lord. And in community, there is something that happens to our faith that rises when we hear other people singing the same songs to the same God that allows us to wholeheartedly worship. And one of those expressions is we raise our hands in worship. So just a thought. I don't know, Taylor, where you want to take that. Yeah. But I do think that there's power in this, and mm-hmm. we see it in the culture. So it makes total sense here that would also makes sense in the church.
This sounds like a silly question, but practically, how do we apply this? This is maybe just putting on some worship music in your house, when you're driving, community group, stuff like that.
Yep. I really think humming. we used to do this better, as I've understood, like Sunday school, there was a lot of singing being taught to kids. We still have singing, like our memory verses every month. It's a put to a song so that the kids can memorize it. And so I think that, Annie, I'm looking at you because there's an opportunity here for you who has a beautiful voice to teach those of us that don't have a beautiful voice the power of singing. So even if you don't know how to sing, but just make a melody to the Lord. And for me, that's humming. So I can hum. Sometimes my kids are like, Dad, why are you humming? I'm like, now I know. I'm being filled with the Spirit.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I don't have to think about that, like in that context, you know, because I was thinking about it inside a being awoken, like in a gifting. But you're saying it like, no, that's that's true for all of us.
It's true for all of us. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clear. This is a clear command that we are to sing.
And the ESV, I was looking at it earlier today, and the ESV it says to greet one another with songs and hymns, addressing or greeting one another. So I guess that's really it. We're just going to have to sing to one another whenever we greet them. Challenge accepted.
Yeah. We can unravel this another time, but it's what it's, that's what it
that's
says.
That's what it says.
So
I thought it was neat. I'd really encourage if someone hasn't watched the documentary about the Eubank family, you could go, it's linked on the guide, and then you can also just Google it. It's on like Prime and stuff like that. But just seeing the way that, and Jose, you asked Karen about this, but the way they have the children's
the Good
club,
Life Club.
Yes. And just how they're like singing songs. And if you watch the documentary, they're like singing songs as bombs are like going off in the background. And just the context there that regardless of, you know, for us, we're just like, okay, how do I stay, you know, thankful in this season of where I don't have the job that I want, or I don't have, you know, but they're in this war zone and they are singing, they are praising God. And so it's just amazing just to watch and to see that lived out here. But this last verse here about always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. We've talked about this concept of gratitude fairly often just from the stage and just on the podcast, but practically, what are ways that we can apply this in any season of our lives? And just for y'all too, I'd love to hear, does this get easier over time as well? Is this something that you put into practice and you just get better at over time?
Yeah, this is a really big one. Just being grateful for the little things and calling those out. And again, I think about the way the Dave Karen family live. I mean, their joy is deep. They truly what they did yesterday is not a performance. This is real, and they love God, and they are grateful first of all for salvation. I mean, the gospel message is so in their spirit and in their core. And so that's just something that we need to keep in the front of our minds. If you don't think you have much to be grateful for, be grateful for the greatest miracle of all time, and that is that you deserved hell, but God gave his son so that you can have eternity with him, that your sins are forgiven. I mean, that is a huge gift, and it's something that I want to keep at the forefront of my mind. It's something that I want to teach my kids to have at the forefront of their mind, and from there, I mean, we have so much to be grateful for right now in this time. So it's something that I'm definitely growing in. I want to continue to grow in. I'm not there. I'm not where I want to be. But gratitude, I mean, we've heard the study, right, that you can't complain and be grateful, that anxiety and gratitude cannot exist at the same time in the mind. And so that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's really good. I'm thinking about how often Dave and his family has had to trust God in a way that I probably really can't even fathom. I mean, I can, but also like, it's so different, you know, like, and so I think to know and to have experienced over and over and over the risk that they're taking at the same time, the grace and the protection that God's giving them, it reminds me of seasons, my hardest seasons, whenever I look back on them, whenever they're over, whenever I've seen what I've put down, that's whenever I have gratitude, you know, like looking back and seeing what God has already done, seeing the ways that I've trusted him and he's been faithful, even whenever it wasn't the way I expected. Remembering the things that God has done for me, I think sets me in the right spot. Mm. And then it's easier to see the things I'm grateful for that's happening now. It kind of resets my thinking.
Yeah. He's faithful to us in all seasons of our life. I love just how, as we continue to work through Ephesians, we're seeing all of these passages tying in, that it was relevant 1,000 years ago. It's relevant today. It's relevant to the Eubanks. It's relevant to us. Yep. Jose, as we continue on and we look forward to what's to come for Ephesians.
Yeah. Now we're going to pivot and look at relationships, how we live this out with one another, starting with marriage. So that is what will bring us together this Sunday. Looking forward to it.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.